I think we're 2 minutes after the hour. Let's go ahead and get started. Mr. Secretary, are you ready to take minutes of the Peering TV member meeting?
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
All right, thank you. That being said, I will call the meeting to order at 1602 hours GMT. Welcome. For those of you who do not know, my name is Aaron Hughes, and I've been serving as the president and chair of Peering TV since 2015 when we incorporated. It is my honor and privilege to welcome all of you to our fifth annual member meeting. Good day to everyone attending this virtual meeting and to those listening to this recording in the future. Today, you're going to hear from each of the committee chairs to get an update about the accomplishments over the past year and potentially some insight into the following year. While the board is in attendance, the speakers are primarily committee chairs. The board continues to strive to distribute the operation of the organization to the various committees and keep strategy, finance, and governance at the board level. As with each year, the boards and stewards update an annual strategy and operational objective plans to retain transparency about our intentions and give guidance to the committees. We not only welcome voluntary input, but also ask our committee to obtain regular feedback from all stakeholders so that we can adjust our strategy and operational objectives and continue to meet the changing needs of the Peering TV community. All information pertaining to the governance of Peering TV can be found at gov.peeringtv.com, and I encourage you all to read the documentation available there. As you know, the Peering TV platform and service has become critical infrastructure over the years, and we all depend on the reliability and accuracy of this data. On behalf of the board, I would like to thank you for the honor of serving this community to ensure the reliability, performance, security, and support of Peering TV services. I would also like to express my sincere gratitude to all the volunteers, committee and task force members, and stewards who serve the Peering TV organization and community. Without you, Peering TV would not exist. After each update from the committees and task force, you will have the opportunity to give input or ask questions. At the end of the meeting, you will also have the opportunity to bring up any technical and policy questions. I thank you all for your interest in the governance of Peering TV and your attendance today. That being said, let's move on to the next agenda item, approval of last year's meeting minutes. I would entertain a motion to approve the meeting. Sorry?
Aaron, I apologize. I just want to double check that recording has started. I'm not seeing an indicator.
It has indeed.
I apologize. Thank you.
I would entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the member meeting held 25 April 2019.
Joe Marshall moved.
Second.
I believe that was Job Schneider's first and Arnold second. Any objections? Sorry. All in favor of approving the motion, say aye.
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 Any objections? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to the next agenda item, financial update and call for sponsors, Mr. Caputo.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Chris Caputo, and I'm your Secretary Treasurer. At the beginning of the year, I distributed the finances printout from QuickBooks for both profit and loss and balance sheet for end of year 2019. I hope that you all have had a chance to review that. The financial situation of Peering TV is that we're in good shape. We're entirely sponsor-based, sponsor-supported, and our sponsorships have continued to remain sufficient to support both outreach and software development and product management and my compensation as your secretary treasurer. More sponsors are always welcome. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Chris, for the financial update. Moving on to the next agenda item, admin committee update, Stefan Funk.
Good day, everyone. My name is Stefan Funke. I'm the chair of the Appen Committee. To proceed further with last year's annual meeting, we had the call to complete a Appen Committee charter. We finished the charter. It's available at the PUNDB documentation page, and it says that the PUNDB Appen Committee is responsible for the day-to-day end user support of PUNDB. The Appen Committee functions as the first point of contact for any inquiries to PUNDB. The Appen Committee produces definitions for enhancements to the workflow and admin GUI and works with the product committee to plan a coherent roadmap for the PUNDB software. So that to sum up, the admin committee takes care of support tickets. The admin committee strives to answer tickets within 24 hours. We gather input from end users regarding the improvements of PUNDB in terms of bugs and product features and channel them towards the product committee via GitHub. And we improve PUNDB admin GUI to help expedite resolutions of support tickets. Today, the admin committee has 9 members. We had one outgoing member. His name was Henrik Bosch. I would like to thank Henrik for supporting PUNDB for a long time. And we made a decision to onboard new members with a goal of to have people all around the world in different time zones to improve PUNDB support quality and to answer PUNDB tickets within our own SLA that says that we have to answer at least within 24 hours. So the admin committee today has members in Australia, Austria, Brazil, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and the United States. The admin committee, the members are Alexander Guimaris, Arnold Nipper, Christopher Hansen, Darwin Acosta, Job Snyders, Yuhima Mendes, Peter Hermstein, Sean Coffey, and myself. I would like to thank all of our members of the admin committee and, of course, all the other members of all the other committees for their effort to support PUNDB community. Since the last update, after last governance meeting, to reflect the last year, we had a total of 11,000 tickets. That means that we had about 900 requests every month. We celebrated the 50,000th ticket at the 26th of March this year. We had no issues with the ticketing system at all. And that resulted or is a good work or, let's say is the product of improving all the processes in the background ticket handling. And to improve the automation to get tickets handled even faster. To point out one thing we had in last year in ticketing, in December 2019, we had a flood of requests coming from newly registered networks in Indonesia. That day we had over 200 requests and AC handled all requests within our own SLA. So we were able to onboard about 200 networks on one day and about 150, I think, at the next day. And that was a great success, and we're happy to onboard all those networks as fast as possible. About the milestones of last year, so as everyone might have noticed, the IXF JSON importer was disabled last year. For everyone not knowing what it does, it aligns the information submitted to PUNDB by network operators and information submitted by IXP operators and to join this operation, this information and to automate entries within the PUNDB. We're working to get this feature back on into production. We improved the PUNDB database quality. That was mainly a success of cleaning up few things in the background. So we made a decision, a definition about what is an exchange, what is a facility, and what is a network. You'll find this information when you register a new facility and or internet exchange, for example, and tooltips and guidelines in the UI, and of course in the documentation. We did a database cleanup. We cleaned up a lot of orphaned accounts with a faulty admin or staff status in the background, and we did revamp all the IX LANs. We made the decision that one IXP has only one network, so that means that, for example, if you have an IXP with multiple regions and all those are different IXPs, you will find today that each of those IXPs has a different name and a different entity and community. We helped cleaning up a few bugs in the background. We did a lot of improvements in the backend and the admin interface that most of you will never see. But that helps a lot. And I thank PMDB product committee and the developers in the background for supporting us getting all the volunteering job done. That's for my update of this year. If you have any questions, please come to me or ask now.
Any questions or comments for the admin committee? During comment, thank you very much. Oh, go ahead.
Just a comment, showing appreciation for the fantastic job they do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions for the admin committee? Hearing none, thank you, Stefan, for the update, and thank you to the admin committee and all supporting staff and team for their service to PeeringDB. Moving on to the next agenda item, operations committee update, Job Schneider.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to listen in on our updates. I am the chair of the operations committee. The operations committee within the PeeringDB organization is responsible for hosting and availability of the PeeringDB services. So we're the guys on pager duty, so to speak. My report for about the last year is going to be fairly short. It appears we have had a fantastic uptime. It's 99.96 something. I think that is a testament to that the operation committee's processes and volunteers are doing a good job. So I'm very happy with that because I think this year represents the highest uptime in PeeringDB's lifetime so far. So that's pretty cool. Other interesting news, updates to translations via translate.peeringdb.com are automatically propagated to both production and beta servers. And this type of decoupling will makes it easier for people to contribute to the translations and therefore making PeeringDB more accessible to the global community. So I'm very happy with that as well. And looking forward, PeeringDB will be moving into a containerized architecture. Our hope is that it will help us scale PeeringDB in an easier fashion. And we'll continue to focus on PeeringDB's performance, bringing PeeringDB closer to its users and PeeringDB's stability. I think in these challenging times, stability is really of the utmost importance when it comes to internet operations. And I do recognize that PeeringDB has an important role to play in that. So that's what we'll be focusing on. The operations committee currently is composed of Chris Caputo, Matt Griswold, and Mafia Walster, and myself. And I would like to express appreciation for all the work they've done in the last year and their contributions to PeeringDB's excellent uptime. And with that, I would like to open up the floor for questions, comments, feedback.
Any questions or comments for the operations committee? Hearing none, I also thank you, Yob, for the update and the Operations Committee volunteers for their time and support of Peering TV. Moving on to the next agenda item, Outreach Committee update, Greg Hankins.
Hi, everyone. This is Greg Hankins. I am the chair of the Outreach Committee. The Outreach Committee is responsible for all outreach and communications. We could be called the Marketing Committee, but no one really likes that word, so we ended up with Outreach. We had one member join last year. Ben Ryle joined us. That brings us to five members total, me, Bijal, Arnold, Rebecca, and Ben. So thanks to all the volunteers for their work. We published an infographic for our growth last year for 2019. That's available on all of our social media. Growth was strong again in all of the record categories that we have. So verified users was up 23%, peering networks up 22%, organizations up 20%, facilities up 17%, and 7% new internet exchanges. These numbers are similar to the growth in 2018, so this indicates that there are still a lot of operators and users that are registering with PeeringDB, as the admin committee mentioned. The PeeringDB website averages over 700,000 daily hits per day. And we also have the ability to track if it's a human or an API using the website. So based on those statistics, we see about 50-50% humans and APIs. So that tells us that, number one, a lot of people are automating, and number two, that human and API usability are equally important. So that does influence some of the decisions that the product committee makes. Also, PeeringDB turned 4 on March 15th, so PeeringDB 2.0 is now officially 4. In terms of outreach for last year, we had a mandate from the board to work with 5 underrepresented regions. So we chose the Apricot Conference, Brazil, the AFPIF Conference, the Rodon Conference, and the MSKIX Peering Forum. We worked with the local community organizers to sponsor t-shirts and some presentations, so that was really great where we could work with the locals. They did all the logistics and ordering the t-shirts through a local vendor and things like that, so we didn't have to ship internationally. And also especially thanks to Nick.br, all the local hosts were very easy and eager to work with us. Nick.br in particular has been the far most active in promoting the PeeringDB in their local community. Kind of goes back to a little bit the growth requirements that we saw. Stefan mentioned Indonesia having a large registration. That was due to a requirement to be in PeeringDB in order to peer with a provider there. But outreach has also driven a lot of registrations, and in particular in Brazil, through Nick.br's outreach, they give a lot of presentations locally at their events and things. We've seen a lot of registrations from Brazil as well. Last year, our volunteers gave 38 presentations, including 3 tutorial workshops at events worldwide. Most of them were in English, but we also had some translations into Portuguese, Spanish, and Russian. We also had Feliz representing us at as the product manager for PeeringDB at several events, in addition to all the volunteer attendees. So it was good to have a volunteer representation, but also we helped Feliz get her name out there as the official product manager for PeeringDB. As Job had mentioned, the translations have been added. This is not strictly something that the Outreach Committee does, but I just wanted to highlight that a lot of popular language have been added, including Arabic. Arabic is spoken by 310 million people and understood by another 425 million worldwide, so that was an important language to add that will help reach communities in their local language. And lastly, last year, we opened a t-shirt store and then promptly had to close it very quickly. Unfortunately, we found out that the t-shirt vendor was not able to meet our requirements. We have a very strict requirement from the board that PeeringDB should not make any profit from the t-shirt sales. So the t-shirts were sold at cost so that PeeringDB users could buy a t-shirt and wear it and represent PeeringDB and promote PeeringDB. So unfortunately, we had to close the store, but we are looking to open it again this year. In terms of our projects this year, with the global pandemic going on, most of the events, or all of the events this spring and into summer, have been canceled. So it's not really feasible for us to do t-shirt giveaways and presentations in person, at least this year, for the foreseeable future. So we're just waiting to see what events take place this fall, and we'll try to work with the local organizers again to generate presentations or t-shirt giveaways and things like that. We've also started work on a promotional video that explains what PeeringDB is and how to use it. Part of that video will feature a new PeeringDB character, and that will be the basis of our 2020 t-shirt design. And when we have the 2020 t-shirt design, we will be opening the new store. We evaluated a couple of vendors already, and we're going to reopen the store with the 2019 Defender t-shirt and then the new 2020 t-shirt whenever that's ready. That's all the update I have. Any questions?
Questions or comments for the Outreach Committee? Hearing none, I'd like to thank you and the Outreach Committee for their volunteer time to the PeeringDB community. Moving on to the next agenda item, Product Committee Update, Stephen McManus.
Hi, I'm Stephen McManus. I chair the Product Committee at PeeringDB. For those of you who aren't familiar with what the Product Committee does, we're responsible for improvements to the core product of PeeringDB. So whether that's a bug fix, typo fix, small enhancement, or a major feature, that goes through us, and we coordinate with people who actually do the coding to ensure that it gets done to the high quality that you expect. I joined as chair in, I think, June of 2019. Soon afterwards, we had two members step down, Eric Luce and Florian Hibbler. I want to thank them for all their contributions in the past, especially Eric as former chair of product committee, who did an excellent job. Since then, we backfilled them with two new members, or two new volunteers, in early 2020, which brings us back up to eight members. So I wanted to thank all the product committee members for their time who volunteer for it. So Jan Berthier, Matt Griswold, Jane Kerr, Arnold Nipper, Yolandi Robinson, Yob Snyders, Greg Villain, and Felice, who also is our product manager for product committee and PeeringDB in general. So since the last call, we made a major change to our decision-making process. We found that there was a big bottleneck in that exactly every single issue required 75% of the product committee to push it forward. This slowed us down tremendously, and last year we had a lot of releases where we could have done more, but we were slowed down by a lack of consensus on individual issues. So in October, we launched a new decision-making process, which only requires three product committee members to approve. And if any member disapproves of the proposal for the fix, then requires the full 75% again. So this is allowing us to move a lot more quickly on smaller issues. And then when we have a much more contentious issue, we still have a higher bar for getting consensus. The good news is that's resulted in a much faster release velocity, as we now have an actual backlog of things we want to release versus before we were kind of starving the developers in terms of actual issues they could act on because we hadn't reached consensus. So since the last annual meeting, we closed about 168 issues as duplicate issues, not a problem at all, or some undesirable feature. And part of that was due to the new decision-making process. We have a release coming out on Wednesday, and assuming all goes well there, we'll have 86 issues closed since we had our last annual call. 30 of those are majors, 56 of those are minor issues, a large majority of them being for the admin committee, as we just heard about from that update. So far, our release velocity is trending much better than it was in previous years. We're seeing larger releases and more frequent releases, and hopefully that trend will continue as we move forward in 2020 and beyond. Starting this release, we have a release notes page on docs.peeringdb. It will sort of give people a more digestible view of what's happening in each release and what's happened in previous releases. The information is still always there in GitHub. It's just that we found people weren't as savvy with using the search feature and figuring out where the release notes were. So we're finding this is a little bit easier for people to see what's happened over the past as well as what's coming up in the next release. We also spun up or helped spin up a data ownership task force to ensure the product committee wasn't making decisions about privacy and data ownership in a silo. And that was, we'll get an update on that coming up next, I believe. But that helped us focus on other issues, not have to worry about trying to solve contentious data ownership issues all by ourselves, which we think was the right thing. For the rest of 2020, we plan to focus on a couple things. One is to figure out a way for other people to contribute to PeeringDB besides our existing vendor. So whether that's pull requests from the community and anyone else who wants to make contributions, or having additional vendors who can support and increase our release velocity even further. Next, we plan to draw down the backlog so the queue of issues is lower. We currently have about 105 issues that we need decisions on, and I'd really like to get that down cut in half at least, if not lower. And then additionally, we want to figure out a longer-term roadmap for the product. We've kind of been focusing on like small features and bug fixes and generally making the product more stable. But once we get most of those things complete, where are we going to take PeeringDB after that? So we plan to solicit some feedback from the community and then figure out what the roadmap looks like for PeeringDB over the next few years. So any questions?
Questions or comments for the product committee? Hearing none, thank you very much for your service, and thank you to all the committee members of the product committee for their service to PeeringDB. Moving on to the next agenda item, data ownership task force update. Liz Yilmaz.
Thank you, Aaron. I hope everybody can hear me well. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, depending on wherever you are. This will be a short update from the Data Ownership Task Force, which resumed its, ended its work, actually, recently. The Data Ownership Task Force was established in September 2019, you may remember, with the aim of working on a PeeringDB policy about data ownership. And this was after a need was recognized by the product committee, as Steve just noted. They were receiving a lot of issues consistently being raised relating to who owns the data in PeeringDB, especially when more than one party was involved, such as in NetIXLAN or IXFAC or NetFAC data elements. So following support from the board, a call for participation to a task force was made on September 2019, and a group of 18 people responded to that call. They were Daryl Budich, Chris Caputo, Patrick Gilmore, Shane Kerr, Frederick Kursbeck, Johnny Lima, Ben Madison, Christopher Melater, William Marantz, Jerry McNeil, Arnold Nipper, Barry O'Donovan, Mustafa Timur Sever, Bijal Sangani, Job Snyder, Terry Switzer, Lucas Tribus, and Stefan Wall. Together with me to perform the chairing duties and the support for the task force, it was formed with 19 members in total. I would say this was a good mix, as it had people from IX and network operators, facility owners, as well as board members, not only the PeeringDB users, but the governance side was also were able to be reflected with this group. So we created a dedicated public mailing list for the task force to interact with each other. We also created a dedicated public space on peeringdb.com website. Task force was also given a dedicated and shared PeeringDB Google folder to store all of their working documentation, recordings, to help their with in their internal work on this issue. As the first step, task force worked on its scope initially, scope statement, and after reaching agreement that was published already on the PeeringDB page that was dedicated to them. And after that, we did a kind of a stock-taking exercise. We discussed problem statements and very specific issues and cases. And based on these discussions, task force agreed a data ownership policy and at this stage, had to touch upon certain topics and cover mainly things like overarching principles, noting the purpose of the PeeringDB and expectations, common expectations from all users of it and the data itself. They also said the description of data elements and interaction between them and dependencies among them should be noted, and of course the recommendations for solutions. And at this point, after all this discussion, the discussions generally converged towards a consensus that real issue here was about conflict management and conflict resolution, and how peering DB could optimally help with that. With all this, a draft policy document emerged in February, and it was then consequently put in review phase to be reviewed by the task force members for better wording and seeking agreement on it, on the content of it. The members reviewed several versions of these drafts, collecting feedback and fine-tuning the wording until the end of March. This part mainly was led by Chris Caputo, so thanks again for that, Chris. On 30th of March, a last call was announced for the task force members, and after a week, the latest draft became the policy. That was on 6th April. It was the policy document was consequently published on the Peering DB governance webpage, so you can already find it there. And at that point, task force work was ended. I want to quickly walk through the policy recommendations and highlights for generally information. There are a few. And firstly, the document recognizes deletion or alteration of FAC-IX, IXLAN, and IXPF data elements may cause associated data elements to be deleted, which are IXFAC, NetFAC, and NetIXLAN. So task force recommended that peering DB should be modified to prevent disruptive changes to these data elements when they have one or more dependent data elements. You can find these in the sections of 5 and 7 of the document. Another recommendation is that when needed, the removal of dependent data elements should be coordinated by the admin committee. And that admin committee is actually empowered to mediate a resolution process. So these details are again in the document. You should see section 6 and 7. Specifically in relation to IXF member import, which was the main reason this whole effort started, the task force recommended that peering DB should employ user interface methods and email notifications to encourage data harmony between a network and an internet exchange point as means of expediting resolution and decreasing the burdens on the admin committee itself. And again, the details about this is in section 6. And finally, one of the last one's main recommendations is that the admin committee charter to be amended to include a general dispute resolution procedure, and that should cover data ownership in addition to other potential disputes. So this is noted in section 3, and I believe, admin committee will pick this up quite soon. So by having said all this, let me also clarify that this document specifies a principle of minimal disruption. What that means is that so the conflicted data, which is already published, should not be taken down unless it is done by the network itself or by a resolution process mediated by the admin committee, as I've outlined. So in other words, the existing data, if the network doesn't request so, will not be deleted or altered retroactively under these recommendations. And they apply all to the new data that will be entered into peering DB and or those that come to admin committee's plate. And also, I want to add that the policy document actually has more. And I recommend to read it entirely. It's a good read. And it has something for everyone, in my opinion, new to PeeringDB or to the seasoned users. For example, it has a very good description of each data element and user interface elements in PeeringDB. It describes how these data elements interact with each other and how they result in what you actually see on the PeeringDB UI as a user. This may be very helpful for new users. And it also discusses, you know, various problems and outlines recommendations, as I just went through, and also what needs to be changed to resolve these issues in PeeringDB. So even if you are a seasoned PeeringDB user, as an IX operator or network operator or a facility owner, you may want to look at that. So, yeah, at this point, yeah, I really want to thank to the task force here. They dedicated time and energy over the course of last 6 months. They had 9 meetings and several threads on mailing lists and reviewed several drafts. They followed the changes consistently. So, and finally, they completed their task in the committed time frame too. Let's not forget that. They set 6 months at the beginning, and that was done in all in 6 months. So I think this is pretty amazing. I hope the policy proves to be helpful to the peering community at large too. What else? Yes, as of next, there is some more next. What is next coming? These recommendations that are put by task force are now already are translated into GitHub issues for implementation to work to start. So they are now in the hands of product committee, as Steve mentioned, and the relevant GitHub issues are quickly 676, 677, 681 mainly. These may change, not change, but there might be more specific issues, GitHub issues created by a product committee if they see it fit. But these three will be the anchor ones if you want to follow them up. And these will be in the minutes, hopefully, too. As far as I know from my conversations with the product committee is also committed to prioritize this work, to have all the recommendations implemented as soon as possible. And that hopefully may happen in the next immediate releases, one or two. So next couple of months, you may want to watch this space. Well, there are a couple of slides that contain what I just talked about here, and I pass them to Greg. We will see if we can add it to Outreach Committee's repository, and so they can be made available and they can be socialized to inform the community at large about this new policy and the developments about it. So that's it from my side. Thanks for listening and stay safe.
Thank you, Liz. Any comments or questions for the task force, data ownership task force? Hearing none, I'd like to thank all of the volunteers on the task force for their time and their contribution to PeeringDB. Moving on to the next item, items brought up by the members, technical and policy Q&A. I open the microphone up to the members on this call. Please just simply say your name if there's a queue, and I will manage the queue or type it in the chat window. Microphone is open. All right. Well, hearing no requests, I'll take that as we're doing a good job, and we'll keep on moving in this direction. Moving on to the next item, encourage voting, board election. So each year, the board elections are held at this time. And there are 5 seats on the board of directors, 2 of which are up for election this year. And the term is 2 years long. There are 4 candidates running for election who have bios and statements up on the PeeringDB Voters Guide, which is also available at gov.peeringdb.com. Voting opened on the 15th of April and closes on the 29th of April. That's about a week and a half from now. You should have already received your voting ballot. If you believe you are the voting contact for your organization and have not received your ballot, please email the secretary, which is secretary@peeringdb.com. Certainly one of the most important roles as a member of PeeringDB is to use your power to vote, and I strongly encourage you to do so if you have not already. Again, I would like to thank you all for your continued support of PeeringDB. And with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Joke.
Thank you, Mr. Schneiders. This meeting. Thank you very much, everyone. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See you next year.
Thank you.
See you next Bye-bye. Year.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
Ta-ta.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.